Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We lost a fellow soldier. We lost one of the best of us, and now it's up to the rest of us to stand. When the best of us fall, it's up to the rest of us to stand. 20 years ago, we lost a fellow soldier, Lieutenant Josh Hyland. 20 years ago this past August, he gave his life for this country in Afghanistan. He was a fellow classmate at the University of Montana in the Army ROTC program, and yes, he was the best of us. He had already served on active duty in an Army Ranger battalion. He literally looked like a character straight out of Black Hawk Down. And by the way, acted like it too. He won awards for how good of a soldier, how good of a cadet he was when he was in ROTC. And 20 years ago, he gave his life for our country in Afghanistan. And of course, the reason he was there, the reason we were there, was because of the 9/11 terror attacks that we remember here today. We're going to be remembering Lieutenant Josh Hyland here later today in Missoula at a 9/11 memorial ceremony on the University of Montana campus, where the Grateful Nation Montana Memorial is located. His family, his wife, his widow, and his son will be there. So many of his classmates will be there, including a friend of mine who is a Green Beret who served with Lieutenant Hyland in the same unit in Afghanistan, who flew all the way to Missoula, Montana, to be there for that event today to honor Lieutenant Hyland and the other fallen on this 9/11. Flew all the way from Georgia to be there for that event. But, you know, much like in the military, where we would see the best of us fall and somehow the rest of us would still be here, that's exactly what took place yesterday. When it comes to broadcasting and when it comes to commentary, or frankly, just being a damn fine American citizen, Charlie Kirk was the best of us. And the best of us fell yesterday, taken out in a terrorist assassination attack the day before the 9/11 memorial. The best of us fell, and it's up to the rest of us to now stand. Reactions coming in. Senator Tim Sheehy calling it heartbreaking news. Charlie was a good man and a patriot who fought tirelessly to make our country better. The impact of his work on behalf of the conservative movement and to encourage young people to engage in our politics will be felt for generations to come. Please join our family in praying for his wife, his children, and all those he inspired across the nation and around the world. Governor Greg Gianforte talked about knowing Charlie Kirk since he was a teenager. Charlie Kirk dedicated his life to supporting the next generation of leaders. All right, we're going to talk about that and more. Montana Talks live today from the Montana State Capitol, right underneath the rotunda as we speak. Back after this.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Great to have Bowen Greenwood, the clerk of the Montana Supreme Court, here in the Capitol with us here to kick off our statewide show live from the Montana State Capitol ahead of the 9/11 memorial ceremony that'll take place here at 10:30 this morning. Before we get to Bowen here, our friend Bowen, I want to just share some words from Charlie Kirk himself. We are hearing from so many families and so many young people that are saying, look, I as dad or I as grandpa was a big fan of Charlie Kirk's, but my kids, or maybe for you it's my grandkids, are devastated this morning because he had such a powerful influence in their life, and not just for politics, but for faith. I was just checking in on our app messages here. In fact, I've got a cousin, and she's got three beautiful girls that they adopted as babies from China. And she says her three little girls are devastated. Of course, they're in their 20s now. They're devastated because Charlie Kirk had such a positive, powerful influence in their life. Kelly in Billings just messaged us on the Montana Talks app and says, my daughter and I were going to see Charlie Kirk in Bozeman next month. Mel in Lodgegrass says this, my daughter called me yesterday totally distraught about Charlie Kirk. Her and her husband are great fans of him and have been hit really hard by his murder. It's a sad time in our country. She also told me she had to unfriend people on her Facebook account because they were celebrating his death. It's a real eye-opener for our young people losing someone so close to them. True evil exists in this world, but we know that Charlie is with God and in a beautiful place now. Mel, I thought the same thing yesterday. My wife and I were traveling through the Swan Valley on the way to Helena for the events today when we heard the news. And we passed Swan Lake, and it was absolutely gorgeous. And we just thought, you know what? Charlie's in an even more beautiful place right now. And we can only hope that his influence on these young people, his influence on the next generations will now be immortalized and will be even more powerful and more influential as a result of his sacrifice following this terrorist attack. I want to share just some words from Charlie Kirk here. Some of you heard me talk about this. At the end of July, I was driving a car full of kids out to the lake. We were going on the pontoon boat. Our oldest son had just graduated, and so we thought, hey, let's get all of his friends out on the lake before they all scatter in different directions, the military, college, trades, jobs, you name it. And it just happened to be that Saturday morning, Charlie Kirk was guest hosting Fox and Friends Weekend Edition. And he talked about his message to young people and young men in particular. I think our producer, Caden, has one of the clips that I shared the following Monday ready for us right now.
But we have to go through this first, which shows not just the U.S., but U.K., Canada, and France, and it's young men between the age of 20 and 24, that's what you see on your screen, who are choosing, it has to be the word choice, neither to work, look for work, or to get an education. So that number in the U.S. rising up to 10%, you can see in the U.K. it's up towards 15% of young men basically, Charlie, checking out.
They are checking out. They are the lost boys of the West. And this is worthy of a longer conversation. But really quick, they're checking out largely because the entire society has become hostile to them. They've been told that they were toxically masculine. You look at, for example, in the United Kingdom, they had an entire documentary, and I'm talking about a movie called Adolescence, that was all about that young white Christian boys are somehow a threat to the entire country. And the Prime Minister, Keir Starmer, praised that movie as much-watched film for the entire country. We see it all throughout our nation as well. This is a major problem because it also is really surfacing, and we're seeing it in the dating pool as well. Marriage rates are down, fertility rates are down, and the emphasis of the point needs to be made. It's the young men that are voluntarily checking out of society. This means right. That their psychology is broken, Will. Yes. That means that their mindset is broken. We have economics problems, but it's something more than that. It is soul-crushing, which is why one of the things that has given me hope, I know you've covered this beautifully, is that young men are starting to go back to church. That is the most important thing. As they start to give more of their lives to Jesus Christ and put God first, they'll have more purpose and more why rather than checking out of society.
It was such a powerful morning. That whole morning listening to the Fox and Friends Weekend Edition with Charlie Kirk. Bowen Greenwood, clerk of the Montana Supreme Court, I know you're a man of faith. What a gut punch yesterday with this terrorist attack on Charlie Kirk.
Just heartbreaking. You know, I found myself breaking down in tears on the treadmill at the gym when I heard, especially, I'm sure you remember, at first there were some tweets that he was alive and fighting, and then the news broke, and it's pretty embarrassing when you cry in the gym. But you know, seeing his tweets about Jesus and about calling people to knowing the Lord, really just, oh, what a shame to lose him. You know, to lose a voice like that.
My wife Jessica, we mentioned this while we were in the car on the way to Helena yesterday, driving through the most beautiful God's country you can imagine on earth, and it really and Marilyn and Lolo summed it up on the show the other day. She said, This is a spiritual war that is taking place in this country. It is a battle between good and between evil. And I fully believe that the reason this civil rights icon and this incredible American patriot was assassinated yesterday, a Kennedy of our time, shall we say, is because he was leading a faith revival amongst young people. And I truly believe that that is what happened. And when Marilyn and Lolo talked about it being, you know, a spiritual, a battle of spiritual warfare going on in this country, we see that right now. It is literally a battle between good and evil. That's what we saw on that train and the killing of that Ukrainian refugee. That's what we have seen countless time and time again on the streets of America. All right, quick break. We'll talk more live from the Montana Capitol right after this.
Dreaming.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So after the show wraps up here today, I have the honor of being one of the speakers for the 9/11 memorial ceremony here at the Montana State Capitol, put on by Attorney General Austin Knutson's team at the Montana Department of Justice. The governor will be speaking there. Incredible representatives from our first responder community, firefighters, highway patrol will be on hand for that as well. But also delivering the invocation for today's ceremony is Montana Supreme Court Clerk Bowen Greenwood, a longtime friend of mine and friend of many of you as well. Bowen, you know, when I look at the loss of Charlie Kirk yesterday in a terrorist attack on the eve of the 9/11 anniversary, to me it is so reminiscent of so many who have sacrificed in the war on terror as well, to where it always seems like it's the best of us that fall. And then the rest of us are sitting, wait a minute, how did the best of us fall and the rest of us are still here? It's that survivor's guilt that a lot of us deal with. Because when I think about, you know, I talked earlier about Lieutenant Josh Hyland that we're going to be remembering in Missoula later today, amongst others. He was the best of us, right? The soldiers that we lost, they were the best of us. And yet here, the rest of us are still here. What the heck? Charlie Kirk, as a broadcaster, as a comic, he's 14 years younger than me. I remember when he first started getting on the scene here, I've had the honor of getting to meet him and have him on the show before. 14 years younger than me. And he, when it comes to broadcasting and commentary, he is the best of us. And not just as a commentator and as a broadcaster, just as a person, as a man of faith. I look at Charlie Kirk and I was like, I wish I was that good of a follower as a Christian when I was his age. I wish I was that good of a speaker. I wish I was that smart. I wish, man, he was all the above. That's what a big loss this is for America. But I hope he inspires so many more people as a result of his sacrifice yesterday. Your thoughts?
You know, I didn't write these words. People bring them out all the time at a time like this. But there are never as many men like that as we might hope for, but always more than we deserve. And it's just seems like the best of us go first because the best take the most risks and the best bear the greatest burden. And man, it's just, I'm going to miss that voice, you know, that man speaking out in favor of Jesus, in favor of good common sense values. It's really just hard to take.
It does seem like what we're seeing, and I spoke earlier this morning with Colonel Sager, the head of the Montana Highway Patrol, and everybody later today or over the week, you can find that audio on our Montana Talks podcast. But we talked a little bit about how there really is what is happening in our country. There is and we've seen it on steroids after COVID-19 and the lawlessness on the streets, some of it deliberately being promulgated by a certain political ideology and leftist violence, political violence. They don't believe in the First Amendment, so they want to silence those of you who do exercise your First Amendment rights. They don't think you should get a microphone, so they don't respect the fact that Charlie Kirk would even hand a microphone to his political opponents, because they just simply don't want him or you to have a microphone. But the broader issue here is, which even transcends politics, is as our country has moved further down this secular road and abandoned American principles, founding principles and faith, we're seeing societal decay. We're seeing the breakdown in basic civil society. And And that's partly what's going on here.
Yeah, it's the loss of values leads directly to that. I mean, in a world where, in a world without God, why do the right thing? And, you know, I know that's an old debate, and I know atheists think they have an answer, but to me, it's pretty simple. The less God, the more chaos. And I'm sorry to see this world being what it is today, and this world being what it is today leads to a world where people are assassinated. It's tragic.
Yeah, Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, I think our producer, Caden, may have the audio ready to roll for us. Caden, let me know if you've got that audio clip queued up, because this just got me thinking. I'd be interested in hearing his remarks on this in particular. I do agree with Marilyn and Lolo from several days ago that when you talk about the lawlessness on the streets and you talk about, you know, this horrific video of the young woman. In fact, one of the last things that Charlie Kirk had posted on X was the screenshot of this young Ukrainian refugee woman and the absolute horror on her face as she looked up at the guy who just stabbed her in the throat multiple times. And Charlie Kirk said something to the effect of, America will never be the same. And then, of course, look at what happened to Charlie Kirk. And if you haven't seen the horrific graphic video, it's awful. Yeah, Caden, go ahead and play that Speaker Johnson clip for us if you can.
But he said it's hard to hate someone if you know the names of their children. Mm-hmm. It's about relationship, right? And our job in Congress is to convince the people on the other side of the aisle that our argument is correct. Charlie was a great model for that because he never shied away from debate, but he never hated the guy that he was debating. That was the key. He believed in the biblical admonitions. You know, there's a passage in the New Testament that says all of us as Christians, believers, we're supposed to be engaged ultimately in the ministry of reconciliation. What does that mean? It means that you leave the door open to reconcile with those who disagree. And that, you know, a gentle word and a gentle admonition is better than returning fire for fire, right? Sometimes we got to remember those principles. And I think Charlie was one of the best at it. Yeah, he had sharp debates, but he always went and was willing to put his arm around the person that he was debating. And the reason that he was so engaged and so passionate about what he did, Jesse, I know he and I talked about this, is because he genuinely loved everybody, and he wanted to bring them to the truth. Yeah. And he was so effective at doing it. And I don't know if anybody will be able to fill those shoes.
Bowen Greenwood, clerk of the Montana Supreme Court, I know you're delivering the invocation at the 9/11 ceremony today. What are you going to pray for today? Has your prayer changed since the news over the past couple of days?
Well, it has too. You know, I mean, you can't not pray for Charlie Kirk's family today. But that's gotta be in there. But at a 9/11 commemoration, you have to give thanks. And this bears on what we were just talking about. You have to give thanks for the men who run towards the sound of the explosions or towards the sound of danger. Men and women in uniform, first responders. We thank God that men like that are in our world and that they're willing to do what they do. That's first and foremost on my list of things to pray for, and not just, you know, the 9/11 responders, but the ones we have right here in Montana, too,
who
risked their lives and have even given their lives in the past.
That's right. We talk about, I mean, earlier this week, the Mason Moore Foundation just had a big seminar in Kalispell focused on post-traumatic stress and providing resources and things for first responders here in Montana every day. And when we talk about never forget, that's the two words that we always talk about on 9/11 is never forget. Never forget what happened today. Never forget the sacrifices since that point, and never forget that those who are wearing the uniform right now or who are going to put the uniform on tomorrow are going to be sacrificing as well and could pay the ultimate sacrifice. Speaking of that front, I think on the phones with us right now. Oh, did I lose her? Is she still? Okay, yeah, I think we've got Susan Renault in Missoula. Susan, are you there?
I am there, thank you. And I am actually putting you to work at my Never Forget service this year. I want you to toll the bell. I don't know if you saw my script, but we're in Missoula at Rose Park. And the service starts with the planting of 7,000 American flags in front of the Vietnam Memorial and around that area, symbolizing not only the 977 people that on this day were in the towers as they were collapsing. In fact, right now, the towers were collapsing. And in 10 seconds, those people were dead. We also pay tribute to the military that went out, signed up, volunteered, and you were one of them, to combat evil and terrorism. And what happened to Charlie Kirk yesterday is an act of domestic terrorism. And so we are living still. I spoke to the VFW last night, inviting them to come to the Never Forget service. And we are dealing with terrorism even in our midst. And I hope and pray that we never have another incident like what happened September 11th, 2001. But I want everyone to come. I want people to pack Rose Park, which never happens, but we can always hope. And then at 7 p.m., there is a procession of all the honor and color guards. So we're led by bagpipers.
Yeah.
And we finish the service with the singing or the playing of bagpipes of Amazing Grace.
Always very powerful ceremonies that I know, Susan, you've helped lead for so many years. That's incredible. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing you there tonight. I've also got the UM 9/11 Memorial at 2:30 this afternoon, and then we've got a military alumni reunion gathering after that. But I'm going to have to try to bounce over and see you for that ceremony as well. Bowen Greenwood, about a minute here before we go to the break, and then I imagine you probably got to run. You know, Susan talked about the sacrifices since that point. I remember, and pardon my language here, but this is the only way I can sum it up. On 9/11, I was at the U.S. Capitol working for former Senator Conrad Burns at the time when the attacks took place. And I just remember later that day being pissed off, feeling pissed off and powerless. I'm pissed off today, too, but I don't feel powerless. I feel empowered by people like Charlie Kirk and so many of our great listeners out there.
You know, Aaron, I worship at a Pentecostal church, and every time you speak, I'm out here wanting to shout amen from the pews. You know, I know that if what Charlie said before he went home and what he would say today if he could is, in this time with so much violence, get to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's the way to save the world, and that's the way to make sure you know where you're going.
Bowen Greenwood, clerk of the Montana Supreme Court. Always great to see you, my friend. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thank you, Aaron.
All right. Let's see. Quick break here on Montana Talks. Send us a message on the Montana Talks app. Call the studio if you've got something important you want to share, 406-294-0970. And then Kate and I'll figure out how to get you patched through with me here. I'm live from the third floor fan window location of the Montana Capitol as we speak.
This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordlund.
The second MAHA report, or Make America Healthy Again report, was released by the White House, the focus being on America's childhood health crisis. The first MAHA report startled agriculture groups as it targeted crop protection tools like the use of glyphosate on crops. It seems that the MAHA Commission did listen to stakeholder input, and the EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin says they will be committed to using a gold standard of science when it comes to approving products that impact health.
By focusing on working with our partners at USDA and HHS, especially in permitting crop protection and agricultural inputs, EPA can directly support healthier outcomes for children. This approach is directly targeted at solving the crisis of America's childhood chronic disease. I want to assure that ultimately the safety, especially that of children, that science and the law will all guide the great work we're doing and we're going to continue to do over the course of this administration. America will continue to be the energy, industrial, and agricultural power of the world.
Corn and wheat growers welcome the reaffirmation that EPA is the right agency to regulate crop inputs. Wheat farmers emphasize the importance of safe, effective crop production tools as essential for yields, quality, and food security. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right. We should have a couple more guests join us here live from the Montana State Capitol. The 9/11 Memorial will be underway here in less than an hour. I think we've got scheduled to join us. I think Chief Justice Corey Swanson may pop in. I know he's got a very busy morning, but he was going to try to drop in for a few minutes. Plus, we should be joined by Mike Chambers, the assistant fire chief with the Helena Fire Department, this morning here as well. But I think traveling the state right now, listening in, and now with us on the phone lines, we've got Judge Dan Wilson with us. Judge, thanks for calling in here this morning.
Great to be with you, Aaron. Thanks for putting me on the air.
Well, thanks for calling in. Obviously, you know, we're here for the 9/11 Memorial and never forget, and talking about how the best of us may fall, but it's up to the rest of us to stand and the rest of us to stand up. Talking about the devastating Charlie Kirk news and so much more. What's on your mind this morning? What did you want to share?
Well, I was on the bench yesterday and didn't hear the news right away of Charlie Kirk's assassination. But between hearings, I was reading the news on X, and as I scrolled down not far through the feed, I saw the terrible news, and also the shocking video that showed the shooting, the killing, and it sent me into a brief moment of convulsion. It was just horrifically shocking to witness that event, to see Charlie Kirk go down. And what shocked me even more, what took my breath away, was a few postings down, there was a reposting of a TikTok video with a woman laughing about Charlie Kirk's assassination and saying that he got what he deserved. And it occurred to me at that moment, perhaps more poignantly than it ever has before, that when we cannot recognize good from evil, right from wrong, good from bad, when it's right in front of us, then we are losing our way as a society. And obviously we can't stop people from speaking their minds on social media and otherwise, but I think it's time to bear witness to the fact that those who celebrate a deliberate homicide occurring in public against a public figure, obviously for the content of his speech, those people need to be recognized by their friends and community as those who can't tell the difference between right and wrong.
Yeah, we were talking earlier with Bowen Greenwood about this just broader breakdown in civil society and in law and order. And of course, we've talked with you about the courts and how the courts are a part of this problem oftentimes because they just want to make it up as they go along and they don't want to stick to the Constitution and to our founding principles because they just want to push their personal agenda. But setting that aside for just a moment here, to your point, it's not just some random wackos on the internet that are celebrating or mocking or laughing at this political assassination terrorist attack against Charlie Kirk yesterday at Utah Valley University. There's a post on X that's gotten over 300,000 views right now. Apparently, a woman in Helena, who's a mental health therapist, said, "Bummer, bro," mocking the Charlie Kirk assassination. I've also seen screenshots of somebody who apparently works as a public defender on the state payroll here in Montana, who was also mocking Charlie Kirk's assassination attempt. Somebody on the state payroll that's involved in the legal system mocking and laughing at a political assassination.
Yeah, I mean, if you can't even pause for a moment, take a breath, and process just the enormity of the tragedy, how wrong it is, and keep your mouth and your bile and your poisonous rhetoric, hold it back for even a moment. That tells me that people are celebrating evil, and this is absolutely wrong. And I think it's not just a symptom of moral breakdown. I think it's absolutely a signal of moral cowardice. Those who celebrate this death appear to me to have every bit as much hatred in their heart as the shooter did. And it's time to recognize as a society what these signals are. It's not just someone sitting back casually and saying, well, that's the way it goes, or he got what he deserved, or what goes around comes around. That's just a coward's way of saying, I'm afraid to do what the shooter did, but I have every sympathy for it. And I have no time for that viewpoint. And I think we need to have sort of a reassessment of how we approach justice in this country. It's not at this time the time to call for the prosecution of the gun or the gun lobby or to assail the instrument used, whether it's a small knife that was used to murder that innocent victim, Arena Zarutska, in North Carolina, or whether it's a bolt-action, high-powered rifle, evidently, that was used to murder Charlie Kirk. What's wrong is not the instrument. What's wrong is the dark soul that lacking any human decency that either stabs or pulls the trigger. That's what's wrong. That's what needs to be held to account. That's what needs to be prosecuted. And it's the ritual of holding people to account and swearing accountability under the law that revives us and keeps us going as a society and keeps decent people from just giving up.
You know, it is worth pointing out that undermining the rule of law and undermining the judicial system is a deliberate attempt by leftist movements. If they want to transform this country into something else and move us away from being the free republic. I think this is a major reason why the great Charlie Kirk was targeted with this assassination is because I think the biggest reason is because he was leading a faith revival among young people towards Christianity. That's the biggest reason in the spiritual warfare taking place in this country right now, why he was taken down and why he was the target. And as the memorial bells are being rung right in front of me here in the Montana Capitol in anticipation of the memorial ceremony coming up here in less than an hour, he also was the leader, and you could argue probably he probably the most important leader, because he, you know, is leading the next generations to make sure that America, as we approach our 250th birthday, remains a free republic for another 250 years. Judge Dan Wilson, your thoughts?
Well, I think what's wrong is that there's this moral vacuousness. The overall message that I keep hearing, whether it's pressuring us from above to not keep people in jail or to not impose bail against the people who are evidently a danger to the community, or it's this constant messaging that nothing matters. Nothing that anyone else in our society has held as important, has held as sacred over the last several hundred years, none of it matters. Just go about your business, your amusement, your day-to-day death scrolling on social media or commenting is all that it's about. It's not true. We need to remember that there are things that keep us together. There are fundamental truths. There are fundamental values that we have to adhere to, that we need these constant rituals to remind us are important. Things like pledging allegiance to the flag. That's just a moment to set aside to honor not only the founding of the country, but the sacrifice of all the people that made it possible and keep our freedoms intact. Just small things, but we are losing sight of, it seems to me, much of it. And this constant drumbeat of nothing matters, criminals aren't dangerous, it's the instruments they use that we need to get rid of. There's no such thing as morality. There's no such thing as a firm commitment to a higher truth. This is what's leaving our country so vacuous, our state and our youth and young people just without direction.
That's right. And Charlie Kirk gave that direction. He led people that in that direction, which is fundamentally why he was targeted for assassination. Judge Dan Wilson, and thanks so much for calling in. A great surprise, great remarks here on this 9/11 memorial as I'm set up here live at the Montana State Capitol. All right, quick break. Judge, again, thanks for your time. Quick break. I think we should have Mike Chambers with the Helena Fire Department join us here right after this break. Just a quick few minutes left, and then I'll have to break down the equipment and head right downstairs to the floor of the rotunda here for the 9/11 memorial ceremony at 10:30 this morning, which, by the way, is open to the public. So I look forward to seeing many of our friends here listening to KCAP Radio in Helena in just a few minutes. All right, quick break. Back right after this.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Never forget the sacrifices made on this day during the 9/11 terrorist attacks. Never forget the sacrifices made by so many and their families since that day. And never forget tomorrow, the people that are putting that uniform on once again, some of them even for the first time, some of them maybe for the last time, given the threats they face out there as firefighters, as police officers, as other first responders, as military service members, or just everyday good men and women citizens who stand up and do the right thing to protect the community around them. An honor now to have Mike Chambers with us. Mike will be speaking at the ceremony here later this morning as well. Mike is the assistant fire chief for the Helena Fire Department. Mike, what's your message going to be here later this morning?
You know, I think, you know, here we are, 24th anniversary. I happened to be on duty that morning. You know, with the time change, it was 2 hours later, but I remember being in the fire station, being woken up by my captain and my other crewmate, and I rushed to the TV and just were trying to figure out what's going on just as the second plane hit. And, you know, we had shift change happening just after that. So it was really, as an organization, we were kind of thrown into it. Even though we're here in Montana, it's a challenging feeling to be wanting to help, but helpless being so far away. It's very conflicting. So my message is, you know, we got to keep remembering. Those are very impactful times for America and the fire service. And I think, you know, September 12th is a good message to continue to push, is that we all changed after that day, and we need to continue to be better people and, you know, better community members and all those pieces.
That's right. I remember, you know, I was in our nation's capital on 9/11, and I remember just feeling, you know, frankly, the words I've been using are pissed off and powerless. And I was working for a United States senator, and I was in the most powerful city in the world, and I felt powerless. But the people who were out there, who were able to respond, were people who were already wearing that uniform, that military uniform, that first responder uniform. And that's what really got me thinking, okay, hey, I never thought I was good enough to be in the military, but you know what? Maybe it's time for the rest of us to stand up here too. But to your point, yeah, let's focus on the 9/12 America. I remember driving from D.C. all the way back to Montana. Every state, nearly every car you saw had an American flag in the back window.
You bet. Those were very good times back then. We felt very unified as a country. I wish we were there today, and I hope we can get there in the future.
You talked about, even though you know, being a first responder yourself, feeling powerless because you were, you know, maybe back here in Montana instead of there at the Twin Towers or at the Pentagon or on the ground in Pennsylvania. What do you think about in particular when you think about the firefighters who walked into those towers to help save people and never walked it back out?
The thing that just gets me every time is just these guys were, you know, close to shift change as well, and they didn't hesitate. They didn't think about it. They just said, we have a job to do. We're going to go get the job done. Not really thinking about the potential repercussions and what could be the long-term impact. They were just all about saving lives, helping people, serving their community. And many, you know, suffered the ultimate sacrifice, but that's just what we do in this line of business. We're here to help people. We're here to serve our communities. And, you know, it's just impressive. Those guys were some tough people, and a lot of good things came out of that later with tunnels to towers and a lot of foundations that have been very impactful in other communities.
I even think as a country, we've been through some tough times in the last few years in particular, but sometimes it's those tough times that create stronger people, and then those stronger people create a stronger country. And I hope that like we say, never forgetting, and that's the importance of memorials and ceremonies just like this.
Absolutely. It's important to remember. It's important to not forget. Those are the messages that are continually brought up when it comes to 9/11. And as a firefighter, I really appreciate the community outreach and the community support. And the amount of times people communicate with me and my staff and everybody that I work with about those days and the commitment that we have. And it's challenging, you know, at times, but like we feel really supported, and I'm very appreciative of that.
There's 23 floors. There's no 13th floor. There's 23 floors on the DoubleTree Hotel in Billings. And I remember one time I left the KBUL studio to go get a cup of coffee during one of the breaks, and I saw a firefighter with his mask on and his gear out in the hallway because he had just been climbing all of those stairs. And I think about that moment today because this is why you train. This is why you fight. This is why you wear those masks and you wear that gear and you climb those stairs, is to be ready for moments like these.
Absolutely, because you never know when it's going to call. You've got to be forever ready and forever prepared. And there's a lot of us in this industry that take that to heart.
Mike Chambers, Assistant Fire Chief, Helena Fire Department. An honor to have you on Montana Talks. Look forward to seeing you here in just a few minutes. Thanks so much for being with us here on Montana Talks.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much. Okay, I got to quickly break down my show remote broadcast equipment here so we can attend the ceremony down in the rotunda below. And then 14:30 this afternoon, we'll be at the 9/11 Memorial at Memorial Grove on the University of Montana campus. Coming up on Friday's Montana Talks, we're celebrating the military alumni reunion. We'll be at the University of Montana's Washington Grizzly Stadium in the Canyon Club with some remarkable guests. So that's what's coming up Friday.